Hey, everybody. Hope you're having a great day. For those of you who are watching the webinar live, it's November the 7th, which means we're headed into the holiday season, right? And for all of us, it means there's, usually more logistics that we're managing, more emotion among our people that we're managing for sure. And I always like to try to share something helpful, even if it's not necessarily in the vein of the webinar that we're having. And one of the things that really is helpful to us years ago was our attendance used to take a hit over the holiday season. And now it actually goes up during the holiday season. And it really was a byproduct of redesigning our holiday schedule. People look forward to that. They're looking for something over the holidays. So what we started to do was we designed a story of thanks service, which tells the God stories that are happening in the lives of people all around them. People really enjoy that. Now, I got a little too caught up with it in the early days, and I had a lot of stories and no teaching, and I noticed some people fell off. So now I always make sure I have about 20 minutes of teaching in addition to the stories that are going on. And people really leave feeling like, you know what, I know that my faith makes a difference in my everyday life, and I want to practice it well, which is a good way, we all know, to kick off the holiday season. The other thing, and the creative team really gets the credit for all of this, is they started designing like a whole Christmas season. We used to do one big production, and people would come to that production, then the attendance would go down. But instead of that, now we have a childhood Christmas one day with lots of games and rides and little train rides and different things. And the parents look forward to that with their kids. Then we have a real fellowship-oriented day where there's lots of things brought in that people make, cookies, different things. And there's a big gingerbread house competition. And then there's an outreach day where we make it our goal for people to come in and all the cards are ready for them. But they write notes to people who are nursing homes and things like that. And then when that's done, it's time for Christmas Eve. So it really was a game changer for us as a church. So I thought I'd share that. It's not what we're talking about today. What we're talking about today is we're talking about a subject that honestly, I wish I thought about sooner as a pastor, and it's how to handle toxicity as a leader. How do you handle it in the leaders who are around you? And it's not that people are bad, it's just that we're all growing and we're getting past sinful habits. And so as a leader, we have to get past that. And I've got a really good friend with me today that I couldn't think of somebody I'd want to be talking about this more with, Pastor Joe Caminiti from Believers Church in Warren, Ohio. Joe, thanks for being with us.
Pastor Tim, it is my pleasure. And I really enjoyed some of the ideas you had. I know the other pastors listening, they're taking some notes too. Those are great ideas for the holidays. You know, this year we're doing something unique. Our creative team came up with it. We're calling it the Big Give, and we're starting, I think, at the end of November, first 2 weeks of December. And I contacted mayors, and we contacted schools, and like our what we asked them is, what can we do? You know, how can we serve? We wanted to do acts of kindness, and we just wanted to fire our people up. So we're going to highlight all the things they can do and get people to volunteer and do it. So I'll let you know after we do it. How it goes, but I'm excited about the new get the big give that's coming up.
Yeah, that sounds really fun, really exciting, because people want to give, especially when they hear stories. I mean, I was just looking at the edited versions of the stories of thanks before I came out here, and I think it makes me a better preacher sometimes to hear people's stories. Yes. Because you realize what you're trying to help them find through the grace of God. But yes. Joe, you've had this a long time. Tell the people how long you've been pastor in Believers Church.
This past August was 41 years. So I started the church at 24. So 41 years. And it was a learning curve at first, but because I grew up like you, Catholic, and yeah. I was an altar boy, and that was about it. I didn't have any pastor. I wasn't a PK. And so it was all kind of new, but God walked me through it, and I lasted.
Yeah, I think I was too mischievous in Sunday school class to be an altar boy. I would have aspired to, but I didn't quite make it.
My immigrant mom made me, so I had no choice.
There you go. There you go. Good. Well, so today we're going to talk about, pastoring. To me, pastoring is a lot like having kids. I remember when Tamara and I had our third kid, it was like, okay, I've got this one, you got this one. What are we going to do with this one? And so as pastors, I'm sure you remember the early days when you were doing everything and it just dawned on you that we have to raise up leaders and that really maturing leaders is the key to multiplying ministry.
Yes.
But we don't do that with really a well-developed leadership process, which we talked a little bit about last week. We talked about the five things a senior leader does to raise up leaders. And then in 2 weeks, we'll talk about the skills that you have to nurture in young leaders if they're going to be good leaders. So I'm looking forward to next week as well. And they're archived. If you see them, if you have a friend they think they could help, you can share them with your friends. But today is really a unique subject, which is dealing with toxicity in it. And I'll start by talking just in my own, about my own process in this. But Joe, can you think back to the time when you were trying to raise up leaders and some of the emotions or thoughts or some guys just starting out? Do you have any advice for them on how they can get started?
With raising up leaders?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'll share a bunch of it as we go forward today, but yeah, I think probably one of the best things we can do in raising up leaders is get to know people and just spend time with them and watch how they react, watch what they do in different situations, and then give them little things to do and keep an eye on them. I did that. I made a ton of mistakes with people and put them in positions a little too quickly. But there was hardly not a whole lot of people to choose from. You couldn't afford to bring someone in. So I just began to look for qualities and then put people in positions and coach them as I went. Made a lot of mistakes, but it worked. Was able to build some teams that way.
Yeah, I made a couple of mistakes I really regret too. And you and I have talked about it, but I'm not saying that the people, they did end up doing damage to other people's lives, but I don't want to blame it all on them because I feel like if I had a better process or if I was more mature, then maybe I could have led better. And maybe or maybe not that would have happened. They still are people that have to grow through their own things. But so I thought about it. And Paul said this to Timothy. He said, don't be hasty in laying on of hands and don't share in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. And when we allow a toxic leader to mess people up, we really do share in the sin of what happened. I mean, We ask for forgiveness every day in the Lord's Prayer, so nobody can be perfect. And we don't receive guilt and condemnation. That's not what we do as Christians. So I think most of us have done our best. But it's good to sit back sometimes and say, okay, so why did that happen? Why did that toxic leader find a place? And for me, I came up with a couple of things. Number one, for me, and I think most pastors, we're really good at believing in people. I mean, we do what we do because we love redemption stories and we love teaching people how to experience those. So we probably naturally believe in people easier than we test people. I think that's one thing. I think the other thing when I thought about it was just, you know, when Paul was doing ministry, there weren't lights and children's program. A lot of the stuff we do wasn't in the New Testament church at that time. So we're trying to find capable people to do these things, and we don't recognize that when we put them in charge of doing something, there's also a leadership component that's going to play out. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. I had to deal with being toxic myself in some ways. You know, I was probably quite a control freak. And then I think a cousin to that is insecurity, you know, so I'd be dealing with some folks that were toxic, but I'd deal with them in the wrong way. And I kind of would like push them into a corner and be pretty aggressive trying to deal with the problem. And then a lot of times, you know, they quit or they step down. And I'm talking about 24-year-old, 25-year-old, 26-year-old Joe. And I look back now and I think, wow. And we talked about it just a little bit earlier. I could have coached them up if I knew what I knew now. And so I had to deal with that toxicity within myself. And it, you know, again, I started young. I thought, boy, it might have been better if I was an associate somewhere for a few years and had a pastor coach me. But I did feel I was following the Lord. But it caused some problems that I had to grow out of. And of course, God's grace is on us to grow out of those things and to keep going if we humble ourselves, you know.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of what I call the honor-honesty equation. You know, in Ephesians 6, it talks about parents, children honoring their parents, yes, and then obeying in the Lord. And so my kids, just when we can have honest talks, they've always made me better. They help me see things from a different perspective. I think it's important to do that with our young leaders, that we don't let them get haughty in their own eyes to where they're saying things and they're upsetting the environment because of a lack of honor. But at the same time, we're affirming them and showing them that we don't know everything. You know, I think that's really important. But there's four things that I kind of highlighted when I was preparing for this talk. And I know you've got some great thoughts to share about this. But number one, I think it's important that we recognize that God's dream for our church cannot be fulfilled without leaders. And honestly, God's dream for his Big C church can't be fulfilled without leaders. We're living in a time when a lot of leaders are getting older in the non-denominational movement. And so right now, I think this is a critical 5 to 7 year time for some of us that we need to be reproducing leaders that can fill up these churches and do a good job, that they can be a part of the succession that's going to happen. But Paul, being so apostolic, had this in his heart from the beginning. So he wrote to Timothy, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. And the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified." And that verse says a few things to me. Number one, it tells me that grace builds the church. We don't build the church. Some people say it's all God, and it really isn't all God. It's mostly God. It's impossible without God. But God gives grace to people that Jesus calls us. And he said, "I need your grace to do what I want to do, to build a church." So I think, first of all, we just remember that there's grace. And when that grace is in a young guy, I think we got to treat that grace with the kind of dignity and honor Jesus would, you know, treasure that grace that's in somebody the way that Jesus did. And then, but the first toxicity that I think that I had to deal with was I had to remember that I look for reliable people who will be capable, not capable people that I hope will become reliable. And that's where testing comes in. And so when I see leaders who I keep seeing that other pursuits, they have a grace in them to lead, but other pursuits keep pulling them off the path. I say, okay, I have to help them with reliability. I have to nurture that in them better. Or sometimes you'll see people who are egocentric. You know, it's too much about what they're doing. And again, they need reliability nurtured in them just to be reliable to what Jesus has called us to do and to be reliable to the atmosphere as opposed to just what they're doing within the atmosphere. What are your thoughts on that, Joe?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, we bring them up, we work with them, and then we coach them as we go. And we look for the flaws, but we don't speak to the flaws. We speak to the potential and we coach them up in all those areas of their life and make sure that, you know, when they're heading off, we just have that good conversation with them, not like I used to. And we just keep coaching and bringing them up. And I think it's so important. I love the fact we have leaders that are in positions and they're coming up and we have this young team. A lot of our teams come through the creative team, and it's amazing. And then we see the potential in them for other things, and then we begin That's to coach. We coach them up in that area or this area, and it's been awesome. I mean, we pulled guys into all kind of positions, just watching how they react in that area. And Pastor Joe Jr. oversees all that, so you know he's telling me this person, that person. And then we're watching them, and it's been a great feeder for us, just that team of people. And we have other areas where we're doing the same thing with them.
Yeah. Well, you know, did you guys ever deal with the fact that some of the leaders on your staff, like it wasn't even you, you had leaders on your staff who put people in positions they shouldn't have been in? And because your church is pretty large, and when you talk about your creativity, you guys, you've raised up a lot of really good creative leaders in your church. But has that ever happened to you? I know for us it happened, and I had to put a better process into
yes.
And still, sometimes you have the process and people don't honor the process and you find out about it.
Yeah, we do everything. That happened quite a few times. And then once that's out there, it's hard to pull it back because they've already got that person's hopes up and so on and so forth. So I think we have it now to where they know the process and they know we make decisions in teams. And so they know this team, this is the team that's going to process those things. So tell us what it is, and then we'll begin to process it with you. And we let them know what we're looking for. But we did make those mistakes before. So you have to have those processes not to make them.
Yeah. So I think my advice to people would be, first of all, that, you know, when Jesus chose 12 to lead the rest of them, he prayed all night. So getting people in the right place is really, really important. And then the second thing is, scholars have said Jesus spent more time ministering to his leaders than he did even publicly. So I try to balance my time half and half, how much I'm, and it's not all leadership things. It's just being part of the creativity, being in the creative meetings. And sometimes you'll see people you could delegate it to because they're gifted and they're capable. But I think it's good to ask yourself, but am I training them? Am I helping them be what they need to be for the next assignment that God has for their life? So I think praying about who gets in what positions and designing a process. Both of our churches are beyond the point where we can invest in everybody. So I know right now I've never felt better about our department heads and the leaders we have in the room who are investing into people. But that took time. And it's going to be messy when you're younger, because the reason that they're who they are today is because of all the messes and the mistakes we made in the past.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We got them ready by doing that. So that it costs some money or costs some problems. But now that we paid that out, they're very valuable to us at this point.
Yeah. I think the first one, you talked about things you fought, which were control. And for me, I fought some control issues. I'm not a micromanager because I'm busy. I want to do what I do well enough that I'm too busy to micromanage people, but I can be controlling if I don't keep that under control. And then I really had to manage the part of me believing in people I wasn't nurturing. So I would say the first one, that the toxicity is often in the senior leader, that you're looking and trying to manage that in your own heart. Here's the second one that I came up with, and that is, know that blind trust is going to lead to regret. And we just read where Paul talked about how we can't, entrust ministry to people who are capable but not reliable. And it's not because they're bad, but it's just 1 John 2, that everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of the life, it doesn't come from the Father, it comes from the world. And even Jesus had a Judas. So most of us find comfort in that. But I love this scripture where Paul talked in Romans 15:14, and he said, I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, there's a lot right there, that he actually knew them, so he was convinced. I think it's good to note he was talking about brothers and sisters. Some people are a little tough on women leaders in the church, but Paul evidently mobilized the leadership within women well within his church. But he said, you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. So those three things have kind of helped me with that weakness I have of believing in people too easy sometimes, just to sit back and say, okay, are they full of goodness? If they're not, it doesn't mean they can't be. It just means that you have to develop that side of people and just say, you know, like we have a guy that he's our youth minister now, but his dad grew up pushing drugs in the valley, you know. Wow. Makes it incredibly powerful in our youth ministry because we have a lot of kids who connect to that. But he has to work harder on that part of his life. He has a lot of passion and purity and love and desire to do that, or he wouldn't be in the position he's in. And it's been years ago. He was with Bill Shear before he came here. So Bill Shear did a lot of good in his life. But full of goodness, then filled with knowledge. The Greek is talking about like a fishing net that you can't put one more thing in. So to me, that speaks to my leadership process, which we're going to talk about next week some. But have you designed something that you feel like you've given people all the skills they need to get started? Or yeah. You're just gonna kind of hoping it works, and then able to instruct each other. When you look at 1 Timothy, when Paul talks about deacons and elders, the only difference for the most part is that an elder can teach and a deacon can't. But people of character who understand what it means to lead, they're so valuable, because right now we're all seeing a lot of decisions for Christ. We're all seeing a lot of people get baptized, but their maturity is going to depend on how well I raise up leaders. And I would you agree with that statement, Joe?
Oh, I would. And, you know, Jim, I am, you know, one of the things we emphasize, and I know you do too, so strongly, is what Jesus taught. And our goal is to make disciples. We want to be a multiplying movement of disciples making disciples. So, you know, I love what Jesus said. He said, we have to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow him. We have to be willing to die to self, pick up that cross. So we want to get that in our people early and young. We want them to know this is our goal. We want you to find out what the Bible says, put it into practice. You're going to have to say no to yourself. We want you to love God's people, and we want it to be all about God's people and all about you asking yourself, what can I do to be a servant leader for people? And we look for that in people. And when we see that in people, we know, man, I believe at that point they have character and they're capable. And then we can see what gifts and callings God has on their life to take them to the next level. But we're looking for that. And then I'm looking for leaders who see the potential in people. And they're not looking at the flaws. They're looking at the potential. Not that we ignore serious flaws, but they're looking for that potential. And then we're gonna pull that potential out of them that's inside of them and bring them up to the level God's created them to walk.
Yeah, one of the things that Jesus probably would have put in his leadership skills was not seeing flaws in people so much, right? I mean, he was really good at that. When you look at who was on his leadership team,
they had a lot of flaws. Somebody,
yeah, he saw potential. He managed their issues, and he brought incredible ministries out of people. So have you found, Joe, because you've been at 41 years, I think this is a good question to ask you, but how does it differ now with millennials than it did 20, 25 years ago when you were developing your leaders?
I think some of them need reparented, maybe is a good word. There's certain things they didn't learn at home, maybe because their parents were trying to be their friends. I don't know. But it's like, I would think our kids learned all that, you know, the way we brought them up. But I think there's just a lot of them, that just weren't properly parented. So we have to work on those soft skills or hard skills. I don't know what kind of skills you call them, but you've got to help them in that part, you know, the work ethics and all of those things. So to me, that's something we've had to work with them on, and they do a great job. They come up to that level when you begin to let them know how important it is. It's not good enough just to have skills. You have to also have that character built within you. So I see that as something that needs more and more work, that parents aren't doing it as they raise their kids today. At least a lot of parents are, but so many aren't.
Yeah, I know we've addressed it, and we've just been honest with the kids. And I said, let me just tell you, I'm a parent. And I said, it's different than when my parents parented me. I said, 70% of moms didn't work when my parents were parenting me.
Yeah.
I said, in today's reality, probably both your parents worked because they wanted to give you more opportunity and they wanted to give you, you know, a better shot at life. But what happens in that is when you're busy, you want to be loved by your kid. And so you just don't have as much time. I don't think anybody neglects on purpose, but I think that's a great phrase that you just shared, reparenting. And of course, I'll say this to the people watching. His nickname's Papa Joe. So he's really good with people, but he's also very disciplined and very excellent. So he's a great person for me to ask that question, because He doesn't err as much either on the soft side or the hard side as a lot of people do. But I would just say, if you err, if you're, you know, if your whole personality is you're like, okay, it's Navy SEAL training time. Okay. If that's your leadership style, that's cool. Just make sure you have people around you to keep it balanced, you know, or if you're very, oh, honey, how you doing? You know, just make sure you let the, turn the Navy SEAL loose with your leaders too. So,
but Jim, yeah, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, I didn't have to reparent anybody. They came already parented. So that to me is a big difference.
No, it's a huge difference. That's a good way to, I've never heard that phrase used before, but I think it's a really good phrase that you just shared. So for me, again, toxic leadership, remember it's in me, not just around me, and make sure we give God a chance to deal with it in me, not just around me. But as we do it, just remember that leadership is going to mean everything. You're not going to have a variety of ministries in your region unless you raise up leaders. It's just not going to happen. It's going to take leaders for that to happen. Your young believers who come to Christ aren't going to mature if they're not on teams led by good leaders, because it's your leaders who help them really get established in the spiritual disciplines that bring them growth. Our churches aren't going to have good pastors for the next generation if we don't give ourselves to leadership. So it's important we recognize that and make leadership development a big part of what we do. But don't trust people blindly, or it's almost assuredly going to bring regret. I think there's a scripture in Proverbs that says a child left to himself brings his parents shame. So blind trust just doesn't work. Here's the third one. You alluded to it earlier, Joe. And that is, trusting leaders without testing leaders brings regret. So that's why Paul said, don't be hasty in laying on of hands, and don't share in the sins of others. Again, I thought of that, and I thought, but you know, those pastors didn't have all these things they had to keep running all around them. They were just nurturing lives for the most part. So I think it can be easier, tougher for us. But I like the scripture in 1 Timothy 3:10. It says that leaders should first be tested, and then if there's nothing against them, they should serve. So for me, you know, for a lot of us, we want to trust people, right? We want to make sure, because a lot of people have, they feel inadequate when they get started. So you find yourself trusting, which is good, because 1 Corinthians 13 says, love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. But Joe, how did you guys deal with testing people and then figuring out what you could trust them with?
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. I know every position can't be hired from within or brought up from within, but we strive to bring people up from within into leadership positions. And I know sometimes you have to hire and bring someone in. And that's tough, because it's kind of like, they're going to be on their best behavior in all those interviews we do. And you're not sure if they're going to buy into your culture. You know, you have to work on them to pick up your culture, and you're not sure if they're taking it for the job, or, you know, so you're trying your best in that interview. But, you know, marriage experts right now, Jim, they're telling people, don't get married right away, date at least a year. Now, these are secular guys. I was listening to one the other day, and they encouraged them to live together, which we wouldn't. But the idea is, date for a year and watch that person in every circumstance. Watch how they react with their family. Watch how they react under this pressure, that pressure, the pressures of life before you get married. And I like that, and I connect it to raising someone up from our midst, because we as we raise them up, we're watching them in other situations. We're giving them things to do before we give them titles, and we're just keeping an eye on them. So one of the greatest joys I have, and I know you guys do it too, is just bringing up leaders from within and watching them flourish. And so we have a transition right now coming up with our worship leader, who happens to be my daughter. And she's pregnant with her third child. So she let me know a year ago, she's gonna just not work for a while. And then she wants to come back and volunteer. She's a great musician, beautiful voice, great leader. So we've been, you know, working on who's going to take over. And we could have went outside, but we had someone leading our student worship that we really liked. And they'd just proven to be so faithful. And so we brought him into the adult and gave him some things to do, kept an eye on him. And so now we're going to transition them to take over and be our adult worship leader. We like everything we see about them. And it's neat to be able to do that. But what we do is we watch them in all these different scenarios and give them these little jobs to do. This too, Jim, is interesting. We have a guy at the Boardman campus, Pastor Joe Jr. oversees that. And, you know, they're only 5 years old. And he's been volunteering and helping in an associate role. And Joe came to me and said, we should lay hands on him. I said, well, he's surely ready. We wanted to give him more authority in the church by saying he is an associate pastor. So we talked with him and he was excited about it, but he's a retired businessman. He goes, I don't need any money. He goes, I won't let you pay me. So he won't even let us pay him. But I went over and laid hands on him, and what a joy it was, because he had 5 years of serving in our midst and we know him. So I think in the early church, man, everybody, they rubbed shoulders. They raised up leaders from amongst them. So I know you talked about it last webinar. You talk about more details coming up after this one. But I think if we can have those systems and just bring people up, and we're trying to perfect them, we're trying to glean off of churches like yours to learn more secrets. But there's just something about bringing someone up from within. To me, that's my favorite way to grow our leaders in our churches.
Yeah, I think that was really well said. And when it comes to one thing I love about Significant Church is just what we learn from each other. Like, I was trying to give credit to somebody for what happened at Christmas because the credit belonged to my creative team and to some other church we copied. But we learned from people so much, I can't remember who it was anymore.
Yeah, that's awesome, though, right? That's
what we should do. Funny? I mean, I literally want to give them credit, but I can't remember. So if you're watching,
I love your gingerbread idea. Gina does a new gingerbread every year, so I should send her down and enter your contest.
Knowing Gina, she'd win.
We need to do it here. That's a great idea.
Yeah, people just love stuff like that. Kids love stuff like that. But, you know, I don't know if you've noticed this, Joe, but we try to raise up within two and if have internships. We're getting ready to birth a bigger internship we're working on right now. But really, the times I've gone with search companies and we're in a search for a position right now, it's not like it used to be, you know. And I think it's just the transition that we're in right now. Some of it is tougher for guys in smaller counties. I mean, the majority of pastors don't have this church with a lot of notoriety, so it's not easy to get people just to come in from the outside.
Especially if you live in a cold area like us. And a lot of people don't want to come to a smaller community.
Colder, smaller, whatever it is. And so I think it's really, it just tells you how important it is that you test people. And the people that you have doing ministry well, make sure they understand how important multiplication is. And some of them are going to have better coaching skills than others. You know, if you were raised in a coaching family, you probably have better coaching skills. If you weren't, if you're raised by people who were maybe really good at what they did, but that's just what they did, they might need a little help learning how to coach other people, which again is what next weekend's, what the next webinar is all about. But it is important to ask ourselves, okay, who's being trained and tested in this critical area right now? And we're getting ready to do that throughout our organization. This is a little bit off point, but I think it's worth saying. I had dinner with our bishop here not long ago, and I just wanted to talk with him. And I said, you know, we may find ourselves in a position one day preserving godly values. So I just wanted to get to know you and let you get to know me. And we had just a great couple hour dinner together.
That's amazing.
But he was talking about how he goes to Ghana now to look for their priests, you know? So you think about that everybody has their own system. But I bet you there was a time in the history of the Catholic Church where they didn't think their bishop was going to be going to Ghana to get American Catholic priests, you know?
Yeah, but they probably have just a whole nother mindset of serving coming out of that country of Ghana, you know?
Yeah, they do. And it fits him. So there's nothing, but I'm just saying we all have to develop our system, you know? Right. So here's my last thing. So if we want to get rid of toxicity, let's make sure we remember that some of it's within us, not just around us. You know, I've had, and I know you have too, Joe, as long as you've been out, but I've had a lot of, probably 3 or 4 young guys who called me and said, hey, over the years, I just want to thank you for being patient, because I knew when I was there, I shouldn't have been doing some of the stuff I was doing, but I just wanted to call you and say thank you. Because, you know, I think sometimes for us too, it's good for our spiritual sons to hear us say back to them, hey, I just want to say thank you. I was still in my 30s, 40s. I was still developing as a leader. And, you know, I'm doing it this way now, but I just want to thank you for being part of the family and keeping the family healthy.
That's good.
That season of time. So it takes grace. Building churches takes grace. That's why leadership development is so important. We shouldn't blindly trust people. We need to learn to test people. Then here's the final thing. We need to give people, we shouldn't give people responsibility without requiring humility. If we don't require humility of people, it's not long until they get unhealthy. At least that's my experience. Have you had experience with that, Joe?
Oh yeah. Humility is so important. And Jim, let me tell you a story. When I first met you, Pastor John Nuzzo had you up to Cranberry to do a roundtable, and he said, you need to come meet Jim, Significant Church. And I was looking for a tribe. So I said, yeah, I'll come. So I heard you do a short teaching, but it was just casting the vision. Then we went to a Pirates game. I don't know if you remember, that's been a long time. Enjoyed the Pirates game. And just hanging out with you and hearing you teach, I went home and I told Gina, I said, you got to meet this guy. I said, he has humility. He was so humble in how he taught, but yet so bold. He has authority, but he's humble. And I said, he was the same way in person at the game. And I just want to thank you for that, Pastor Jim. I think that's modeled. So then I hooked up with Sig Church. I told Gina, I found somebody I can serve and help, you know, and be part of a family. And I think the people, our leaders, if they see that in us, I think they can pick it up. And it's just something they pick up. And I noticed you do it in your teachings. Probably the last 5 years, there's things we teach, Jim, that are hot topics in our culture, you know, whether it's purity, heterosexual purity, or you have to deal with, alternative lifestyles, transitioning, and all the things we have to deal with. And so one of the things I do, and I think I see it, our leaders then model it all the time. But when I'm teaching a tough subject, I do an accusation audit first. And I typically, because I'm not making it up, I typically say, I did not agree with this part of the Bible for a long time. And I had a lot of debate with God in prayer. And then finally, one day I just said, you know what, it's in there. I'm just going to humble myself and follow you, God. And then I'll say something like, now I'm going to teach on it today. And some of you will not agree with me, and that's okay. Here's a stance I want you to take. I want you to pray and say, God, if Pastor Joe's wrong, show him. But if I'm wrong, show me.
And I said, that's so good. Yeah.
All you need to do. And so if you model that, I learned a lot of things from you watching your humility. And if we model that, and then we do it one-on-one, and we just, then our leaders begin to pick it up, our members begin to pick it up, and it's just so nice. You probably have noticed this. When I first came to our town, there was a pastor in town, and he was on the radio for an hour, and he was crazy. I mean, he was so mean to his people and so mean to other pastors. And whenever I ran into someone from his church, they were exactly the same way. They came at you the same way. They were aggressive. They were demeaning. And you know, he failed and the church failed, and he's hopefully in heaven now. I think he is. But, I look at the damage he did, and I look at what came in his people, and then we inherited a lot of his people. We we're able to coach them up and change them. But people pick it up from the pulpit, and then they pick it up as we go through life with them. And so, Jim, thank you for your humility that you display.
Well, I mean, I've watched you and I've learned. That intro you just gave, you did at my church. And I forget what you were talking about, but when you spoke here, you did that. And I just took a note. I thought, what a pleasant way to talk. Because if you're going to talk about tough issues, if you don't acknowledge that there are different people who think different ways, you know, I said it with all the political stuff that's going on in the church right now. I just told people, I said, now, if you tell your kids what to do, you're going to find out when they get in their late teens and 20s that they're not going to, they're, most of them aren't going to respond to that. I said, but if you train them and you learn to think with them from the time they're young, then everybody gets better, you know, whenever that's the thought. And there's something like, I think right now, and I'm going to give you the last thought before I just close the telecast, but right now, millennials are really good at being resonant. And there are times I'm with millennials and I see how resonant they are. And I think, man, I really like that. And they're good at caring about the things that matter. Now, if I'm just honest with them, if I'm sitting in a room, I'll tell them, I don't know if you guys live with the same level of sacrifice my generation did. I mean, we were willing to take the persecution. We sacrificed big. All of us did. We started with nothing, you know, and God.
Some of us lost relationship with family members because we had to walk away from our traditional church.
I did, you know, you did, I did, you know, and, but anyway, obviously we're not trying to compare ourselves to millennials. We're trying to nurture their strengths the way that somebody nurtured ours. So the church is better in their generation.
They have some great strengths too.
Oh my goodness. They have great strengths. I love them, but even as good as they are at that naturally, you really make a decision whether you're going to think as an individualist or what, whether you'd rather be part of a community, you know? And I remember when it just came to me, no, I want to be part of a community. I want to be part of a community of people. Of course, when God removed Saul from king, he said he just wanted to do what I wanted him to do, you know? So God said I had to get David, and David was a man after my own heart. So I think the greatest joy in my life, really, and I'm going to close with this, and you can just say anything you want to as we close, but I think the greatest joy in my life is being part of a group of people who I know really want to please the heart of God. And really want to walk in healthy community. It just makes your life so much better if you can get people who balance both of those. Sometimes you can get one of them, you know, but not get both of them. And I think Ephesians 4 helps us with that when it says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Holy Spirit. So unity that isn't passionate about what's on God's heart, you know, but then once you're passionate about what's on God's heart, to have people that you can have a humble heart, you can talk and there's gentleness and you're growing in insight and there's patience and all that because you know the value of living close to God and living close to people.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so good, Pastor Jim. You and I we're close with our families, but boy, how enjoyable it is to have our spiritual families. And I love our community. I love the community just rubbing shoulders with our department heads, our leaders. And I'm an introvert, but I enjoy that, you know, and just being part of all that is there's nothing like it. So, and I know you've created that atmosphere in your church. I've created it. It's just a great atmosphere to have.
And in your family too, it's a great atmosphere.
Oh yeah, you know? It is.
It's just really. I started like on our we rent a house. I forget who I heard. I stole that from somebody too. But I rent a house for everybody in the summer, and we spend a week together as a family. And they do devotions, and I just love it. I'm thinking, my goodness, you know,
that's incredible. Yes,
yeah, so much fun. Well, I appreciate the time we spent with all you guys today, and man, appreciate so much what you're doing in your churches. You're so, so important. And I don't think America's ever needed pastors more than it needs pastors right now. And I'm hearing such good stories from so many people about the baptisms and the things going on. Let me encourage you, if it's not going on in your church, don't give up. Man, my first 6 weeks, nobody got saved. Nobody got baptized. I was fortunate my father-in-law let me speak in his church before I came because I knew it wasn't all my fault. Maybe some of it was my fault, but wasn't all my fault. But just stay at it. Be yourself. But there's a lot of spiritual hunger in the world today. You can look at some Barna stats if you want to. People are more open to spiritual things after COVID, even than they were before COVID. So we have a great opportunity as pastors. And this webinar, I like to say it's just like our lunch appointment. You know, some of these guys, they don't live in proximity to you. They don't live in proximity to me. So thank God for technology. We can get together. You know, we all have access to some leaders and maybe not other leaders. And I like to bring you people that have really helped us grow at Faith Family Church. They've made our church better. And I know you can tell when we get on these webinars, you can tell why that's so true. So looking forward to being together with you here in 2 weeks. We're going to talk about, okay, how do I nurture trustworthy leaders within my church? And I think we're going to have a great time together. Remember, if you have a friend, this could really help. Maybe he's going through some pain. He just had some toxic leaders cause some pain in his church, and he needs to know what happens to everybody, and he's have a plan to how for how to get past it. Maybe share this with him. Let him know that it's there for him. And just know we're always here for you at Significant Church. We love you, and have an awesome weekend.
God bless.